Well, go with me, if you will, into Hebrews, the third chapter. We've been in Hebrews for quite a while. We go line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of God. God wrote it that way. We ought to be able to understand it that way. And of course, as we go to Hebrews, I want you to understand this is a very important subject. Now, I want to share this with you about this subject today, which I find very fascinating. The subject in itself is a subject that oftentimes we don't hear too much about. The subject, of course, is being a, if you will, a good servant of the Lord, and God is looking for servants in the Savior's house. I want to read to you out of the third chapter. That's the title of our message, Servants in the Savior's House. And verse number 5 says, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all of God's house," see the capital H on the word his house, "as a servant for the testimony of those things in which would be spoken afterwards." And now here he is as a witness. Now what we're seeing is an amazing understanding of the Word of God. What we have got to get a hold of, all of us that are in here, is that God is talking about a condition of a man by the name of Moses that is outstanding, that makes him a servant in the house of God. One of the things that you and I need to understand every day of our life is that God has washed us, forgiven us, loves us. We've got a future, a destiny, a purpose for being on the planet. But we can never lose the vision that God's given us, that we are servants of the Most High God. Most people that are in the body of Christ want to be served by God instead of being servants of God. Jesus came and he says, "I haven't come to be served, but I have come to be a servant." He gets down with his disciples and what does he do? The one who created the heavens and the earth, and he washes their feet. And then he says, "What I have done, you do also." And sometimes we find ourselves knowing about who we are in Christ Jesus, the blessings that we have and the abundance that's available of his power and his love and the future that's ahead of us. And we forget the fact that we are called by God to be servants of the Most High God. In fact, you finish the verse, because here's a verse I want you to finish because you know what it says. Someday you and I are going to stand before the Lord. And as we do, he hopefully is going to say these words about you. "Well done, good and faithful," finish it, "servants." He didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful soccer mom or coach on the soccer team." He didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful father." Didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful businessman." Didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful rich person who saved a lot of money." He's talking about being a servant. And God is telling every one of us in here that even though he's washed us and blessed us and brought us into his family, we need to have a concept like everybody that's great in the scripture of being a servant of the Most High God. Now, oftentimes we don't see this, but it starts out with our family. It goes from our family and our children to be a servant there, to be a servant as we work, also to be a servant not only as we work and with people around us, but to be a servant to the plan and will and the purpose that God has for every one of us. That when you are a servant, you catch the eye and heart of God. Let me say it again. When you are a servant, you catch the eye and the heart of God. One more time. When you are a servant of God, you become a person that catches the eye and the heart of God, and the blessings of God will flow to you. May I say this? There's nobody in this room that doesn't want to be blessed. You want to be blessed in your home and your finance. You want to be blessed on the job. You want to be blessed with your marriage and your children. You want to have a future. You want to have a destiny. You want to have a purpose in your life. Don't tell me you don't want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. And oftentimes, because we want to be recipients of the blessing, we forget in order to be a recipient of the blessing, you've got to be the servant of the Most High God. And being a servant of God catches the very heart of God, catches, if you will, the very passion of God, which brings the blessings of God to your home and your family. And when you humble yourself to get into that kind of a position of being a servant, man, it changes the world that you live in. I know that in John 15, chapter verse number 15, Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. That's great, but you'll find out that every one of them had such a heartbeat for God that they became not just the friend, but they wanted to, by choice, become the servant. And he says, the reason I call you friends and not servants is because a servant doesn't know what his master is telling him to do. But I have told you everything. Everything that the Father has said to me, I have said it to you. You're no longer just a servant. You are now my friend. And every one of them that became great, every one of them that are known became servants of the Most High God. Like Moses, who became a servant in the house of God and was faithful for the testimony. You and I today in the house of the Lord have got to see ourselves as servants of God and not just recipients of the blessings of God. We want the blessings of God. We want God to be on our side. We want God to do things for us. But in order to get that done, you're going to have to become, and so do I, a servant of the Most High God. And when you start to see yourself as a servant, now you're starting to serve instead of being served. And a lot of times we want to be served, and here's the reason why, because it feels good. We like it. We work hard that we can be served instead of being the servant that God's looking for. And when you do, you get blessed. You can never be a servant without making the choice to be a servant. If you are made a servant without you choosing to be a servant, you will be a slave. And God's not looking for slaves. He's looking for people who make the choice. God, you're great, mighty, and marvelous. Your ways are better than mine. God, you understand things that I don't understand. You're the creator of the heavens, and you're the creator of the earth. And therefore, God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a servant of yours. You have to make that a choice of your own calling. You can't be made a servant, or you become a slave. And God's not looking for slaves. He's looking for servants. Is anybody listening today? And so God has given me some insight, if you will, on some of the characteristics of a great servant. May I say this to you? I have four little things to communicate with you today. Because I feel this way. If God's calling us to be servants instead of to be served, then we ought to know what it is that catches the eye and the heart of God that brings the blessings in. What can I do as a servant that'll make the difference? And we see that in the scripture. God describes a laborer, a worker on the job, and it's the same thing that we do on the job that we can do unto the Lord. Did you know that sometimes what you do in your house and what you do on the job will only reflect how you are going to eventually treat God? It's like a test that you're in. If you pass the test there, there's another one. And you'll finally point out that this is the way you are going to serve God by how you serve on the job. So we're going to look at some wonderful insights this morning as we look at the Word of God on what good servants do. I need to know if I'm going to be a servant of God, if I'm going to catch the eye of God, if I'm going to catch the heart of God, if I'm going to get the blessings rolling into my home and into my family, I need to know what good servants do. Four quick things. Number one, good servant honors their leaders. Whomever that may be, they honor and respect. They don't slander. They don't talk about. They don't criticize. They don't belittle. And oftentimes, we need to be a people who honor and respect. If you don't honor and respect the people around you, the people you work for, the family you have, the people that have gone before you, how in the world are you going to ever honor and respect? How will we ever honor and respect our God in heaven if we don't honor and respect those that are leaders around us even now? See, what we do oftentimes is we've always done this over and over. We complain about a lot of things. We find ourselves in a time where we don't agree with the way people do things. We don't agree with the way they act. We don't agree with the way they talk. We don't agree. The motives are different than our motives. How they conduct themselves is different from us. And you will find that how you open your mouth about them will determine whether or not you will ever really be a faithful servant to God. Now listen to this, because may I say this to you? God will take you to places you don't want to go. He'll ask you to do things that you're uncomfortable about doing. You will be in places and have to do things, and so will I, that I can't figure out, and it doesn't make sense to me. And if I complain about the people on the earth that take me to those places, then I will also complain, criticize, judge, and if you will, complain about this God that I serve. And so God is putting us in a place where we've got to learn to shut our mouths. It's one of the hardest things in the world for Deborah and I to do, is to shut our mouths. But I'm learning how to shut my mouth. I'm learning how to keep my mouth shut. I find that when I shut my mouth, then you can't get me for anything but body language. And I have to shut up the body language from time to time too. You know what I mean? I'm shutting up my mouth, but I'm going. See, it's all about that. And so you just said something with your body. And guys, I want you to hear me now. In order for us to respect and honor, we're going to have to shut our mouths, shut down our body language, and just know that God is in control. Is it not true that God says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? In other words, God's going to take everything that's bad and make it good. Just takes time sometimes. You got to go through the valley of the shadow of death to get on the other side. But if you stay in the valley, you're going to find yourself in a place where you just aren't going to like yourself. And you're going to be complaining about God because you're not getting the blessings that you think you should have, not having the favor that you need to have. You're going to be complaining about God. And all the time you sabotage yourself, but with your mouth or with your body language. We need to be a people of respect and honor. Can I tell you the truth? You know that every service that I preach, I get down on my knees, I pray for all the different denominations, Christian churches. Can I just tell you the facts? If I thought they were perfect, I'd be there. I don't think they're perfect any more than they think I'm perfect. All I'm doing is I'm saying to God, I respect what you're doing. I respect the men and women of God in those denominations. I respect their love for you. I don't understand why they do what they do or how they do it, but it isn't for me to understand. My job is to respect and honor. And that's why I get down on my knees and pray. Are you following me? And you and I have got to come to a place where we respect and honor. Even sometimes that boss that you're working for, who does things the wrong way, he's kind of like doing it for himself. He's out for himself. He's out to be seen. He's out collecting his own egotistical ideas. He's making a mess. Things would go better without him. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you get together at the coffee pot and all the people are complaining and grumbling, and what you're doing is you're sabotaging your own future by not respecting and honoring that boss. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because a servant of God is someone who respects and honors the leadership. You know why? Because the leadership isn't about them. It's about God in heaven. Somebody ought to say amen. In 1 Timothy, go with me in your Bible to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, in verse number 1. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse number 1. It says, let as many bond servants. The word bond servants means those that are working hard, maybe in labor. They're the employee. They work for an employer. It says these words, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Wait a minute. What if he's a screw up? Didn't say if he is or isn't. What if he's a mess? What if they're wrong? What if they've done bad things? What if they're not honest? Only thing, listen, if they're not honest, you don't follow them into dishonesty. You don't do something that violates the things of God. But man, if it has nothing to do with that, and it's just the work ethic that they have that's different than yours, the Bible says all honor. So that the name of God and his doctrine, teaching, may not be blasphemed. See, what we do is we come into the house of God. We become Christians. Then we go act like the world somewhere else. And therefore, that guy's a Christian. I heard what he had to say. That person's a Christian. Oh, man, that's amazing. They're not any different than anybody else. Listen, we don't want to blaspheme the things of God. We don't want to have the name of Jesus put down. When we call ourselves a Christian, they're going to know it, but they're going to see it in us because we're here to honor and respect whoever it is that's set before us, all leadership, including God the Father himself. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. The second thing we're going to look at is what's good servants do is this. They're obedient and faithful to their leaders. The word obedient and the word faithful is a great word because they really work together. You can't be obedient without being faithful. And you'll never be faithful until you're obedient. It's like they work hand in, it's like salt and pepper. They work together. And here you'll find that someone might come along to their leader and they say, well, I respect you and I honor you, but I'm not very obedient. What good would that do? Jesus even said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My goodness sakes alive, he tells us exactly how important it is to be obedient. If you really love, there's obedience. But you know, obedience without faithfulness doesn't work. Think about it. You're on a job. You're taught what to do. You're obedient to it. The next day you come in, you forget everything you were taught. They have to teach you over again. You see, you need to be faithful in your obedience. And that's what God's talking about. That God is looking for a people who will be a great servant, not only in the fact that we honor and respect those that are leaders above us and before us, but we also come to the place where we are obedient and we are faithful to the things of God. So important for us to see obedience, following in there, keeping in there, being obedient to our commitments. Our yes is yes, our no's are no's, but we're faithful to that commitment that we have made. And that's what a servant's all about. Can you imagine if Moses, who's exalted here in that verse that we read, first time he had problems, said, hey, forget it. I'm out of here. You lead your own people. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do this at all. You know, he would have just given up and walked away. You'd never be reading about Moses. One of the things that makes him so outstanding is he was faithful to the things of God. And he was not only faithful, but he was obedient. And he got in there. God said, this is what you are to do. He didn't feel like he could do it. He didn't feel like he had the ability to do what he was told to do. You will feel by God that you do not have the ability to do what you're told by God to do. But if you'll just be obedient and faithful, God will back you and bring it all to come to pass. Somebody say amen. Let's take a look at that in the word of the Lord. Here we find Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And go with me to Colossians, if you will. And as he writes in the third chapter, verse number 22, again, the word bond servants comes out. That means really laborer. That really means employer. Employee, not employer. Master is employer. But here he comes along and he says these words in verse 22, the third chapter of Colossians. Bondservants, obey, not in some things, all things. The only thing you don't obey is that which is contrary to the word of God, that would be sin. Don't let anybody lead you into sin or back into sin. But obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing God. I do what I do because I fear God. I'm going to be a great servant because I am one who, listen to these words, have sincerity of my heart. This comes by choice. I want to do this. But do you see the words man pleaser up there? You know what a man pleaser is? A man pleaser works when the boss is around, but when the boss is not around, he doesn't work. Have you ever worked with somebody and the boss said, I'm going to go run and get some parts or get some product or get some lunch. I'll be back in about 35, 40 minutes. As soon as the boss is out of sight, everybody starts sitting around playing their little tech games instead of working, doing all that kind of stuff. Want you to know, that's a man pleaser. A man pleaser works when he's seen, but guess what? He doesn't work when he isn't seen. It's the same thing with God. You can be a man pleaser with God. You can come to church and look all religious. You can carry your Bible. You can be all spiritual and all smiles. Then when you get alone, beat the snot out of your kids and cuss your wife out. I'm here to tell you something. It doesn't work that way. That's a man pleaser. God's not looking for men pleasers. He's looking for someone, listen to this, who will obey in all things those that are leaders over them. And God's looking for you to do it and looking for me to do it. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. What good servants do, that's what we're talking about. Here's number three. The first one, if you'll remember, was that good servants honor and respect their leaders. Then they obey and are faithful, number two. But here's number three, and I love this. They desire to please. Did you know that God's looking for a people that want to please the Lord? But I want you to know something. It goes all the way back to wanting to please your family, wanting to please your boss. When you want to please, you'll go the extra mile. Jesus says if somebody asks you for your coat, give them the rest. Jesus said if they ask you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. And I want you to know that's a hard thing for most people. But when, listen to this, as far as your work goes, let's talk about being a good servant at work. When you work better than anybody else on the job, when it's time for them to get rid of people on the job, they'll get rid of everybody but you. Are you following me? Because guess what? You're the best worker there is. A good worker comes in early. He may not punch the time clock until it's time to punch it, but he's already worked a half an hour. If you're a truck driver, your truck is the cleanest on the whole fleet. If you're a worker, wherever you're at, you're there early and you stay late and you don't charge your employer. Why? Your job is to take that employer and make him look good. When you make your employer look good, he is pleased. That's your job. Not just to go in, punch in, put your time in, think you got something coming, live in some kind of world. Well, I'm here. You owe me for being here. Oh, no. Thank God I've got a job. Thank God I've got, I'm gonna work harder than anybody else. And you know what? The other employees may not like you for it. Too bad, because they're going to get canned and you're not going to, because you're the best worker in the whole place. Are you hearing me? And you make the boss look good. You please the boss by making him look good. You will always have a job. And it's the same thing with God. When you and I please God, oh, we make him look good. When you make God look good, he'll back you. He'll love you. He'll be there. His power will be there. The blessings will be there. His presence will bring the glory and favor of God that you want and you know you need. It'll bring it in and God will do great and mighty things. Why? Because you're pleasing to God. Somebody ought to say amen. In little book of Titus, the second chapter and verse number 9, Titus, the second chapter, verse number 9 says this, listen to this, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing. That's what we've got to be. Don't think Moses wasn't well-pleasing to the Father. The Father talked to him face to face, didn't treat him like the other prophets of the land, but spoke to him, knew his what he was, and backed him. Why? Because he was well-pleasing. Moses made God look good. You and I have got a job to make him look good to a lost and dying world. And when you do, you will be pleasing to God. Be well-pleasing, not in some things. How many things? All things. Listen to this. Not answering back. If you keep reading it, shut your mouth and just get in and make them look good. Are you listening to me? Which brings us to the last point for today. And I love this because we're talking about servants. We're talking about what good servants do. Number one, they honor their leaders and respect them. Number two, they obey. Remember that? And number three, we find out that they desire to please. But I like number four. I love this. A good servant does this. They are patient in hard times. You will have hard times. Hard times means things don't go the way you think they ought to go. Maybe your boss is acting like he shouldn't act. Maybe the things that you're doing are unappreciated. Maybe people don't like you, people criticizing you. It's just hard time. But I've got good news for you. God's not finished with you yet. Don't judge tomorrow by today. Judge tomorrow by the faith of your great God. He can do whatever he needs to do. He's the one who opens doors that no man can open and closes doors no man can close. That's God Almighty. He's the one that makes something out of nothing. He raises the dead, opens the blind eyes. He's the one that walks on the water. In fact, he's the one who created the water. God's not finished with you yet. And I've got good news for you. You need to be a people who are patient when times are hard because you are servants of the Most High God. And it may not be today that God comes through, but I can guarantee he's the God that's coming through tomorrow. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. And so we look at the word of the Lord, and it says this in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse number 18. Go there. 1 Peter 2, verse number 18. Get your pens out. And it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, that's easy, but to the also to the harsh. And I want you to know there's times when God's going to have you walking through situations in life that you're not going to like. Times when times are tough and you're going to wonder where God's at. Be patient in hard times because you are a servant of the Most High God and your God will come through. Listen, don't put your time restrictions on God. God's not held back by time, nor does he move because of time. God controls time. Time doesn't control God. So you may not get the answer today, but you'll get it tomorrow or the next day. God is on the move on your behalf. You know why? Because he loves you. Guess why? Because you are a servant of the Most High God. If you want to be a servant of the Most High God, raise your hand at me right now. All right, then say these words. Keep your hands up. Say, I, God, want to be a servant of you. Thank you today teaching me how to honor and respect, obey and be faithful, to be one who is going to love you in the tough times. And one who's going to be pleasing to you in every area. Now give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that? Servant. Can you imagine a church full of servants instead of people who want to be served? Wow. If God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise, the Lord.